The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Rick Patrie of Eldora Newspapers and Nikki Thunder of KCHE Radio. Rick, you can start us off with your question for Senator Grassley.
Okay. Senator?
Yes, go ahead, please. Happy New Year to both of you.
Well, you too, Senator.
Thank you.
I had noticed on the news this morning that the president-elect is kind of bringing some pressure to bear on Toyota today about placing plants in Mexico. And I wondered, what's your feeling about some of the statements of the last week or two, particularly in regard to General Motors and Ford?
Well, for sure, they're making some progress. They're being heard, and they're reacting in a way that's positive for jobs in America. And I think that eventually you're going to get this president to get to some general policy on exports and imports that could involve just trade policy, but also some of the things that's being talked about between Trump and the Ways and Means Committee, the House of Representatives, is what to do about having tax reform for corporations that would not have any tax on things that are exported and tax on things that are imported. And so I think even though it seems like he is doing things that create jobs, he's tackling things in an ad hoc basis that shows that there's some respect for him as a new president and what he might be doing. They may be acting out of fear, but they also have been very clear to say that they're willing to listen and do what Trump is suggesting, even though it might cost them right now a little bit more, because they're looking forward to an era of tax reform and less regulation, which ought to make them more competitive.
Thank you.
Senator, can you tell us what was discussed in your meeting with Trump's HUD secretary nominee, Dr. Ben Carson?
Oh, yeah. I can at least speak for myself. I don't want to speak for him. But then it was mostly this senator and my staff that works on housing issues that did most of the talking, because I really don't have anything or any question about supporting Dr. Carson, and I told him that right ahead of time. And what I wanted to sit down and tell him of some of the problems that we have had, not just with the Obama HUD department, but also with even a little bit going back to Bush to some extent. And most of it is the misuse of public housing money for high salaries, money that's used contrary to law, and that HUD itself isn't doing a proper job to make sure that the almost 100% of the money that comes on federal government is being spent properly. And then we also talked about listening to whistleblowers, protecting whistleblowers, and also working on some problems that we have with the program that is called vouchers. It's a program where people maybe come from one state, let's say into Iowa, and then they move out and they move to a higher cost state. And Iowa's got some obligations to continue that same amount of payment. And basically, we're hoping that Dr. Carson, after hearing what we've worked on for several years in our oversight capacity to make sure that the money's properly spent, will take a look at some of these things and do a lot of things that the Obama administration didn't do, because, quite frankly, they didn't do the job of oversight to see that the taxpayers' money was spent according to law.
Senator, I've talked to some folks at one of the local hospitals. It's a small rural hospital. And there's some concern about what the impact is going to be if what's referred to as Obamacare disappears. And they have, a pretty considerable number of people that are clients of theirs now that are insured under it. And I guess if you could address that and then maybe address what looks to be developing as a replacement to it?
The latter part of your question is kind of difficult to answer except in broad principles. But the first part of your question is there'll be repeal, and then there's going to continue programs for people that have insurance to continue to on those programs in a transition period to replace Obamacare so that people that have insurance don't lose the insurance. And if anybody wonders why there's a transition period, don't forget there was a 3 or 4 year transition period even to get Obamacare going, and you aren't going to change Obamacare overnight. And in the meantime, anybody that's got any concerns about what might happen for the replacement. Remember, we can't go down the road we are because the Obamacare has ruined our health delivery system, taking discretion away from patients, and it hasn't been patient-centered enough, and it's been too much government control. Now, when it gets to replacement, it would include things like this, selling insurance across state lines, hopefully, some lawsuit reform to save money on lawsuits that aren't legitimate. It would involve doing away with the employer mandate, the individual mandate. It would allow people more choice in the insurance that they want to buy. There would be less mandates of what needs to be in the insurance. But some things that might be maintained would be able to buy insurance regardless of pre-existing conditions and to keep children on the insurance for a period of time.
Okay, thank you.
And, Senator, will you tell us about the new members of the Senate Judiciary Committee?
Yeah. I don't have the list in front of me. I hope I remember. Kennedy? From a new one from Louisiana. Sass is not a new senator, but he is from Nebraska in his third year in the Senate. And Crapo is a new member, and he's from Idaho. And Crapo has been a member of the Senate probably for 15 years or maybe even 18 years now. So there's really only one really new member, and that is a new member of the Senate, and that would be Kennedy from Louisiana.
Okay, thank you.
Senator, one last thing. Any comments on the controversy over alleged Russian hacking of the election system here, and specifically the Democratic Party?
Well, I think the press has done a pretty good job of trying to leave the impression that whatever Russian interference there was actually changed votes from the standpoint of interfering with the election machines and the computers and everything that's connected with it. There's absolutely no evidence of it. And it would be practically impossible to do that because every state has a different election system. It's abhorrent to think that a foreign country would want to influence our election even though they can't actually change votes. But I think the press has gone overboard and the liberal, particularly the Democratic Party, want you to think that... Trump got elected just because they actually changed votes. Thank you, Rick and Nikki, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.